So I'm Liz. As I was just introduced, I'm a doctoral student, but I've worked as a project director at UCLA studying addiction for the past 15 years or so. And so I've worked on a lot of studies. Most of them are longitudinal. So we study people over long periods of time, and we follow them up every couple of years. And over that time, I often would interview some of those people, many of whom were in an incarcerated or criminal justice type of setting, or in a drug treatment setting. And I would observe that, you know, they started using drugs when they were like 15 or so. I'm talking to them now when they're like 28, 30. And I would observe, you know, you've never been in drug treatment. Why is that? You seem to have a problem, issues with drug abuse. You're here in this place, but it's taking you so long, more than 15 years, to even try to go to drug treatment. Why is that? And the common response would be something like, you know, I never really hit rock bottom before. I didn't feel like I really had a problem. It wasn't bad enough yet for me to go get help. And so this idea of rock bottom kind of sunk into my brain. What does that mean, rock bottom? My rock bottom is going to be very different from your rock bottom. So I would often talk to the treatment professionals to get their point of view. I would go to drug treatment centers and notice there's very few young people here. Why is that? Where are all the young people? It seems like treatment is mostly for older people. Older meaning, you know, 30s, 40s. Why is that? And the treatment professionals would say something very similar to what the potential patients would say, which would be, you know, they don't really want to be here. They're not motivated enough yet. Their problems aren't bad enough yet for them to come to treatment. And so from these two points of view, from clinicians and patients, I was hearing kind of a very similar reason as to why young people were not appearing in treatment earlier in the course of their drug use. And it made me wonder, what does it mean if you wait till someone hits rock bottom before they get help? How easy is it for them to get out of the hole they've created for themselves? They might not be able to see how to get out of the bottom they've created for themselves, in that, you know, after using drugs for many, many years, you've probably accumulated lots of deficits. You have a history of crime and arrest. You probably have compromised your education and work history. You might have accrued some cognitive deficit. You've affiliated yourself with a drug-using subculture. It's very difficult to change those types of deficits as you get older. And so that was really the impetus of today's talk. I'll return to these ideas as I go through the talk. So I think many of you know that illicit drug use is one of the underlying causes of death in the United States. So we often focus on cancer or diabetes, which are also top killers in the United States, but drug use is up there as well. About 22 million people in the United States, about 14% of our population, meets criteria for substance use disorders. Very few of them go into drug treatment, only about 9% of them. So there's this big gap between those who maybe need treatment versus those who go to drug treatment. Yet, consensus statements do agree that treatment is effective. Treatment does work for those who appear in treatment, but also relapse after treatment is common. So after people leave drug treatment, many of them do relapse. So there is this idea it's a chronic relapsing disorder. Treatment isn't going to cure people. We should expect relapse and be prepared for that. Given the idea that people will relapse over time, it's often useful to apply a long-term point of view when you're studying the effectiveness of drug treatment. Does treatment work when you look at people over a long period of time? And it's often useful to apply this life course framework. So when we do that in other work that we've done, we've identified that there are key life events that do seem to change the course of people's drug use. And other research has supported that those key life events include incarceration, being employed, changes in your family or social roles, like you become a parent, or someone very important to you dies, or there's some significant change in your relationship with people who are meaningful to you. That can influence whether you increase your drug use or decrease your drug use. So these key life event concepts are an important one to try to see where we might target interventions to precipitate a key life event that could change someone's drug use patterns. But the timing of those events matter too. So whether these events occur when you're a teenager versus someone who's 45 can change how effective those key life events are. Think of pregnancy and just health. When someone's pregnant when they're 16, that probably impacts their life course very differently than when they first get pregnant when they're, let's say, 28. the same idea applies here when we're talking about drug use patterns. If you're first, let's say, incarcerated when you're 12, that's going to change your drug use thereafter differentially than if you were first incarcerated, let's say, when you were 47. Okay, so another area I'm focusing in is young adulthood. It's recognized in the developmental literature as a very significant time in the life course. It's defined as ages 18 to 25. It's often when you're kind of solidifying your sense of self, your own identity, you're separated from your parents, hopefully. It's also a time when substance use tends to peak. You may have started substance use when you were in middle school, but it tends to get increasingly more severe. It accelerates and peaks during this age group. But very few of the 18 to 25-year-old group actually go into drug treatment. Okay. So I wanted to put all these concepts together to try to know whether drug treatment itself is a key life event that has the power to change the course of drug use. And secondly, does it matter when that first treatment occurs? Does it matter, you get treated as a young adult versus as an older adult? And to do that, I had this design in mind. I wanted to look at people and line them up by when they first got into treatment, and think of that as year zero. So think of the yellow lines like this is your life course. Time is passing. You enter drug treatment here. This is the baseline, year zero. Some of the people are young adults when that happens, and the others are older adults. Then, so this is like the independent variable. Is that associated with outcomes that happen over the next 10 years of their life? What happens to their drug patterns specifically? So for example, does getting treatment when you're younger, is that associated with achieving a lower level of drug use over the next 10 years? And what about functioning in other areas of their life, not just drug use? So I looked at other outcomes, including incarceration, employment, and whether they got more drug treatment. So that's the design of the rest of the presentation that I'm going to show to you. This is just a formal restatement of the research questions. So does getting treatment when you're a young adult, is that associated with a reduced level of drug use patterns over the next 10 years of your life? And is that an independent predictor of those patterns, so controlling for other characteristics that might explain those drug use patterns? Does getting treatment younger, is that still associated with a lower level of drug use over time? So luckily where I work, there's a lot of longitudinal studies. I utilized four that had been implemented in the years shown here. So they had followed up people in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s over multiple time points. All of the studies sampled people from settings located in the state of California, but they included drug treatment and non-drug treatment settings. And that's important to note. You know, drug treatment settings are kind of maybe biased in that those are going to be people who needed help. They showed up in treatment. They've probably got some sort of problem. But we also incorporate the non-drug treatment settings as well. So taking data from all those studies and putting them together resulted in a sample size of about 1,300 people. So that's the data I have to work with. And all of the studies use the same instrument called the Natural History Interview. And it's this really cool form that I hope you never get interviewed by it, though, because it asks like so many questions about the person's life, asking them to recall from when they first started a behavior, did they engage in that behavior in the next months of their life up to the date they're being interviewed? So, for example, when did you first start using drugs? Let's say age 14. Okay. In the month after you first started using drugs, how frequently were you using it? Which drugs were you using? And the next month, the next month, the next month. So it captures a history of people's drug use and also their other behaviors, which allows you to see whether things change over time, but also to identify turning points. What else is happening in their life at the same time as when their drug use increases or decreases? So there's acceptable test retest pattern reliability. It's an instrument developed at UCLA that's available for anyone to use. There's a website where you can learn more about it. And so a little bit about my overall sample characteristics. So at baseline, only about 24% of them were young adults. So the minority was a young adult when they first went to treatment. Most of them were men. There was a good mix of race, ethnicity. On average, they had started using drugs at about age 15. And the mean age of getting drug treatment was 31. So on average, the sample was using drugs for about 15 years before they went into treatment. And you can see the other events that were happening in their life. They'd been arrested. They started use of their primary drug. Primary drug is the one that they feel is the one most problematic for them. So they may use alcohol and heroin. You might assume heroin is like their problematic drug, but they might say alcohol is. They use it every day. You know, it's up to the person to determine what is their primary drug problem. Okay. So we wanted to compare the characteristics of people first treated when they're a young adult versus an older adult. I'm only going to focus on the ones highlighted in yellow, which were statistically different. So people who were young adults when they first got treated, more of them were women, more of them were white or Hispanic, and fewer were African American. They had less education. The younger adults, fewer of them were married, and more of them had a history of being divorced, separated, or widowed. The younger adults, more of them used marijuana, methamphetamine, and heroin, and fewer of them used cocaine or alcohol. Young adults initiated all of these behaviors you see here at a younger age than older adults. So, for example, their mean age of any drug use was age 13 for younger adults, but for older adults it was about 2 years later, age 15. And that pattern continues with all of these behaviors you see here, kind of indicating these young adults are severer than the older adults. And then when we look at the outcomes here, the 10 years post, what behaviors were they engaged in, we see that young adults are using drugs at a higher, more frequently and incarcerated more, and fewer are employed. So we summarized from those slides that few people enter treatment when they're a young adult, and getting treatment at that time point is associated with particular characteristics and experiences. But remember, we want to control for those differences that might explain the outcome, you know, and focus on whether age explains the outcome. So we created a matched sample, matching the sample on these five characteristics, reducing the sample to 534. We compared the characteristics again, and they're very similar now. So those differences I showed you before kind of disappeared. The main thing that differentiates them is the age when they went into drug treatment. So we now have a sample of young adults and older adults that look very similar to each other in all these characteristics, and yet their outcomes are still different. The young adults still look worse on all of these behaviors that we measured over the 10 years after getting treatment. Yeah, I'm like talking so fast, though. So just a summary. So young adults had more months of drug use than older adults. Young adults in both the matched and unmatched had more time being incarcerated than the older adults. But both groups got very little drug treatment over this time period. Both groups got about 12 months of drug treatment over 10 years. So taken that point of view, it's not a lot of drug treatment happening. Okay, we next plotted mean days of drug use over the 10 years before treatment and the 10 years after treatment. So it's a 20-year time frame. And we're looking at young adults and older adults, the mean days of drug use over these time points. So just before treatment for both groups, drug use is accelerating. They're using much more. And that kind of explains why they went to treatment, right? People who have problems go to treatment. So once they go to treatment, for both groups, drug use drops precipitously, which is a great sign. It seems like treatment might be precipitating a reduction in drug use. That's good. But still, drug use is higher among the young adult group compared to the older adult group. So the older adult group maintains a lower level of drug use over time. Okay. So this can be a little misleading, though, because this is the mean. There will be some people who their drug use was down here, others were down here, others maybe did this or did this, right? But when you take the mean, it all gets lumped together and it evens out to look like that. It could be a little misleading. So to look at the heterogeneity in drug use patterns, we applied a growth mixture model, so sophisticated fancy pants modeling framework I'm not going to go into here. We identified four types of drug use patterns shown here. So most people ended up in this drug use pattern. They were low-level drug users, 70% of the sample. But fewer young adults ended up in this low-level pattern of drug use. When we look at the top, about 10% of the sample were characterized by a high level of drug use over the 10 years. But more of the young adults ended up in that group than the older adults. Same with this blue line. More young adults ended up in the increasing. They didn't decrease until much later in their life. So it does look like young adults are continuing their drug use over time more than the older adults, which is what this summarizes. We wanted to know if that remains when we control for their other characteristics. We estimated a polynomial logistic regression, another fancy pants statistical model to control for their characteristics to see whether this is still statistically associated with membership in those trajectory type groups. And it is. So occurrence of first treatment during young adulthood is not associated with reduced drug use compared to those older adults. We did a second model that looked for interaction effects. We found a significant one. So first drug treatment does interact with the amount of treatment they got over the next 10 years. So we looked at when they got their first treatment, but then also how much more treatment did they get over the next 10 years. We graphed that interaction for you. Let's go right to the summary, which says that receipt of more drug treatment over time was associated with achieving a low-level drug use for the young adult group, but not for the older adult group. So it's sort of like if you started your treatment career earlier and then you got more treatment over time, that was good. It was better than if you had started your treatment when you were much older. So we do conclude that getting treatment is a key life event for both older and younger adults, but the effect of treatment varies depending on when it happens in your life course. Getting treatment earlier seems to be an important thing, especially when it's combined with continuing care. So not treating people just once, but giving them continuing care. We need to develop interventions to get more young people into treatment at an earlier age. This is where I acknowledge this isn't without limitations, noted here, but there are some important strengths. And I just want to acknowledge my co-authors and funding support. That's it. So I just marched you through the data. Sorry. It goes fast.